is always the most exciting moment of the year when we get to come home, family and friends, to report back home what's going on in our mission, and also to get to preach at our home church. I want to, before I begin anything, thank my son Paul. He lives in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He flew in for this occasion. I want to thank him for coming and honoring his dad. And me standing here, I want to honor the pastor of this church, my spiritual father, Carl Morris. I want to honor the elders of this church. And I pray that everything I do this morning would glorify God. I'm seeing that my Uncle Ray, Ray Dudley, is here. And when I get old, I hope I look like him. Uncle Ray, please stand up and let Abundant Life welcome you today. This is my Uncle Ray Dudley. He's here. And his wife, sitting there, Arlene, would you stand up? This is Aunt Arlene. We had catfish stew at their house the other night, and I've learned a lot about them. They're 9 years different, just like myself and my wife. And speaking of her, she's 9 years younger than I am, and she's my anchor, and she keeps me straight, just like Arlene keeps Ray straight. And we agreed that God has given us a wife that's smarter than we are to keep us straight. And Millie, would you stand up and let your home church also... 9 years difference, and us older men with younger wives, we suck the youth out of our wives, and it like a vampire, and it makes us younger, right? Uh-huh. For all you men that have younger wives, that'll definitely relate. I want to, as us missionaries do, when we come home or visit a church, we have to show pictures. So I've got some pictures this morning. And if you'll put the first one up, please, over there. I want to congratulate the band, the Potter Band here this morning. Chris and the band, what do you think about it? Wow. I enjoy that song and what Chris's words stole the title of my message in his talk, and I hope I flow in the spirit of this service. And I saw joy in the band, and in my mind it would be so wonderful if one day they would take over Timrod Park and put on a concert, outdoor concert, and worship God in a public place. That would be so wonderful. Well, if you like that, somebody's clapping, go ahead if you like that. Let's take it out to a public place. The first picture's already up. When we were sent out by this church 15 years ago, we camped out here in this building. It's called God's School. And I left here with experience as a children's pastor. And that's exactly what we did when we went over there. It was a school, and we were the director of the school, my wife and I, and children's pastors. And we had 400 kids enrolled, and there were 100 kids attending our children's church service every week. But we began ministering to the youth that were helping us, and those youth grew up, and their parents and their families started coming, and we had a youth and adult service, and pretty soon the auditorium was just full. And our next direction was, we want to grow, so we're going to take this congregation out of the neighborhood, go into a central place in town, and we're going to reach other people from other neighborhoods. And so after 7 years, we packed up the congregation from this neighborhood, from this building, went downtown, and started holding services downtown. And now another 7 years has gone by, and we returned the congregation to that building. There's the next picture. We're back in God's school. Here we are. We're back there in God's school again with the people from the neighborhood, back in their neighborhood again, back in the original building that we left 7 years ago, and with the people that were added to our church in another part of town. We are, with their help, we bought a piece of land. The congregation there is, and Abundant Life here, went in halves, and we're buying a piece of land, And another picture. Okay, there's the. They were back in God School, back in the God School auditorium where we began, where this thing was incubated and this thing hatched out, is the way we describe it. And what's going on now is what I call mitosis, where for one group we're going to break off into two groups, like a cell division, and the next location, next photograph. Okay, well, that's Pastor Edgar. He's a guy that he's been with me since he was 15 years old. He was our drummer. This is one of our leaders of our church. He married Catherine, and they've been married over a year now. He's coming to Nicaragua. He got a visa coming to the States. He got a visa. He'll be with us at the conference next week. And he is, I'm handing off the church to him, calling him the lead pastor now, so that Millie and I can obey orders from headquarters and begin to promote EFI all over Nicaragua and to help new churches get a good start. Next picture. So this is the piece of land that we went in halves with Abundant Life here. And half from the congregation is paying a loan for the other half for this little piece of land here. We've got some shade up. It gets hot in the Nicaraguan sun. Next picture. And we're going to begin, like I did 15 years ago, start a children's ministry, and the children grow up, and their families want to know what's going on with my kid, and that's the model, the method that I've know how to do. So there we are, on a new piece of property, building with kids. We'll have Edgar there to preach to the youth and to preach to the adults. I've got a lot more boots on the ground help for me this time, because we have people from that part of town that are going to be the ushers and the greeters and mature people in the faith, and Edgar preaching to a new generation. Next picture. So we're excited. This is the vision. I want you to pray for us. You saw a piece of land with not much building going up, but there has the bottom story. The storeroom has been built before I left. It had the roof on it. And the pictures, I don't think, were very clear. So I didn't bring them, but that storeroom is, well, there it is. There's the storeroom is built, so we have begun construction. And our next step is to put that tent, that canopy, go back to the drawing, to put that canopy up. And then they have everything they need to begin to reach out to that neighborhood. And it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be great to watch how God, we're the first church in that neighborhood, the first church, that the first piece of property and the first temple being built in that location. Okay, let's see how many more pictures I have. Go one more. Go back to. Okay, there's the storeroom that we're building. The roof's already on it, and the doors and the windows over the bars over the windows. Is there another picture, photograph? Okay, there's a video. Go ahead and put that video on. That's part of my missionary. Okay, this is our next step. This is what we're commissioned to do now. We have a little bit of church planning experience, and EFI, which is our covering, and I really am excited that there's some people in this room today, and people that will be here next Sunday that are going to find their covering, their spiritual covering, with Abundant Life, by taking on the commitment to be a faithful member of this church. We're covered with Evangel Fellowship, our church here, and also the church in Nicaragua. It's an international affiliation. Well, now I've got a job title, different job title description. I am the national promoter representative for the Evangel Fellowship in Nicaragua. And these are churches that are already covered under these locations already have affiliated Evangel Fellowship Nicaraguan pastors there, and they also cover churches that came out of their association. So we're beginning. I'm beginning my new role in the country as a promoter and a recruiter to call people under our covering, Evangel Fellowship. And we've got 25 churches that I'm going to be visiting first and strengthening those 25 churches. And you can see a lot of the country. We're far away from the Atlantic coast. This is on the Pacific side. You can get an idea of where the pastors that are already with us, they're on the Pacific side that we've gotten to know over these years being pastors, and some of them have gotten EFI ordination. I'm excited about the whole country is ours now, And our commission now is to go out and find people with a call on their life, train them with the ISOM ministry school. You've got one over here in the youth center that's already begun, an ISOM school for the people of Florence. William Rhodes here is the director of ISOM for this city. We've got a group over there, and we're doing ISOM schools also to prepare people for ministry. It's a ministry school. It's not boring theology. It's training for ministry, and not theology. And we'll be training pastors and offering them covering, affiliation, and also helping their churches with a small fund that EFI is going to give me. They gave me $10,000 last year to help the churches, to get them to break ground and to get them to step out. And also, I've been promised this year $11,000. I told them don't put it in my account yet, because then the clock starts ticking and I have to start giving it out. So there's $11,000 in a fund for 2016 to help these churches, to help these Nicaraguan pastors break ground and begin a new location, establishing the kingdom of God all over this nation. Well, that's my report, and I thank you. I thank you for allowing us to serve God and you staying behind us and staying with us, covering. There was a powerful meeting this morning, a prayer over us, and we feel newly, again, we feel like apostles being sent out before Paul and Barnabas were sent out. There was prayer, there was fasting, there was laying on the hands, and they were sent out. And we've got our refreshing and our new word from the Lord. I've heard some things. Millie didn't hear it quite the way I heard it. We'll discuss it when we get home and pray about it and see, because she is the one that if she says that's what God said, that's what we're going to do. Amen. Okay. Well, how many of you want to hear preaching this morning? We're going to go eventually. We're going to wind up in the book of Acts. We're going to begin in Isaiah chapter 61, but we're going to end up at Cornelius's house. Isaiah 61, I want to read something here that Jesus read in a public place. And we're going to wind up at Cornelius' house. And there's an experience. There's something that happened at Cornelius' house. And I think it's happening here. Cornelius was a man that wanted the more of God. He wasn't satisfied where he was at. And so God miraculously told him to call in the preacher. And he gathered all his family and friends there in his house. And when Peter arrived, the preacher arrived, he noticed that all these people were sitting there in Cornelius' house, family and friends and work-related relationships, and they wanted to hear the word of God. And because of that atmosphere, Peter opened his mouth and he didn't even finish the message when God started to bear witness that these people are acceptable to me, that I love these people. And God poured out his Holy Spirit on everybody in that house that day. How many of you think that we could be having a Cornelius experience right now? Yes, I believe that we're here. And some people came and said, some people stayed home today because Brian was here. Other people. But you that came, you said, I want to hear what the man of God has to say. And so I declare over your life today, because you're here and this atmosphere like that day in Cornelius' house, the Holy Spirit is going to descend upon you today, and he's going to do something wonderful in your life today. How many of you want to receive the Cornelius house experience? Well, let's worship God today. Lord, we are here. We are here. You have sent the man of God. You have sent your servant here for a word. And Father, I pray you pour out your Holy Spirit as you always do. Where there are two or three gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. And Father, we're just looking for exciting things to happen like that day. We're going to begin this message. I'm going to entitle it. I think, I don't know if you made me a title page. The Acceptable Year of the Lord. The Acceptable Year. And going to read in Isaiah chapter 61 to begin with, the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus, to begin his ministry, when he was grown up and 30 years old and going to go out in ministry. And one of his, in his first public appearance in a synagogue, in a building like this, he stood up and they gave him the privilege of reading the scripture. And I'm going to read the same scripture he read that day. And he stopped in the middle of a sentence. That'll be important later. He stopped in the middle of a sentence and he said, "This day this is fulfilled in your ears." Let's read that. Isaiah 61, beginning with verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And Jesus stopped there. You might want to glance on to the rest of the sentence. The rest of the sentence. In our books, it's the rest of the verse. "And he did not read, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn." And Jesus stood up and he said, "This is fulfilled today, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." And I know that verse. I memorized it 30 years ago, just like many of you, us people that have been in the movement for at least 30 years. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord." And the song ends just like Jesus ended it there. That anointing is here today, and it's on me, because I have been anointed to preach good news to the meek. And that anointing is on every believer. The Holy Spirit came upon the early church. The Holy Spirit comes on us today. And the Holy Spirit comes on us today. Some people enjoy when the Holy Spirit comes because they want to jerk and shake and dance and fall and shout. But the objective of the Holy Spirit coming upon us is to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. And that Spirit is upon you today, as it always is on his servants. That Jesus began a new thing to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord. We're going to go now to the Cornelius incident experience. The first non-Jewish man to be baptized, along with all of his friends and family. It happened in Acts chapter 10. If you'll go there with me there. Acts chapter 10. And I hope I've got so much to share with you, and I've got so little time. I hope I don't make anybody mad. Acts chapter 10. There is no way that I'm going to be able to. I've got to edit, leave out some stuff, but I want to be obedient to God, and I want to glorify him, and I want to please him this morning. I know you want to be blessed. Cornelius experience. Acts chapter 10. We're going to read some verses. They're probably, if they put it up to Acts 10 verse 24. We'll read a couple of verses. Stop, skip down a little bit. Peter went to this house. Like I said, it was just like this morning. All these people sitting there, family, friends. Well, I know him, I know her. And Cornelius had opened up his house and invited everybody to come and hear the word of God. And God had told him to call on, get Peter to come and preach. And he's going to tell you things that you need to know. And so there they were. And Peter got there. And God told him, "Don't reject anybody. Everybody is accepted with me." God had demonstrated to this Jew that you don't have to be Jewish. Don't call anybody unclean if I'm wanting to clean them. And if I'm calling them clean, they're acceptable to me. Everybody say acceptable. They're acceptable to me. And so Peter got the message, understood his duty, and he began to preach. In Acts chapter 10, we're going to read verse 24. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming to Cornelius, met him, fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, man. I myself also am a man." So there's nothing holy about the messenger. There's nothing holy and better than thou in the preacher. And Jesus and Peter said, "No, you get a misunderstanding. God sent me here to preach you, and God told you to call for me, but I'm no better than you are. But I bring you a message, and I bring you a message, and we're going to hear the message." Now, let's look at what was so important. And this is the same message we're committed to preach. And the anointing was on Peter. And we're going to skip to verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, that he doesn't have his favorite group, that everybody's included. But in every nation," verse 35, "he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Everybody say, accepted. Look at your neighbor and say, "You are accepted." We are in the acceptable year of the Lord, and everybody here is accepted. "Oh, but you don't know what I've been doing for the past 3 years." You are accepted. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. There was a room full of people just like we are today, and you are here because you probably know somebody here. Or you heard that Brian was coming. You saw it on the sign. Brian Hudson's here. But for whatever reason, it's usually because I know somebody. I know somebody. And those people were there. And just because they were there, they were accepted. Tell the person next to you, just because you're here, you are accepted. Because we're in the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 36 says, and then he says, everybody's accepted with him. Then verse 36 says, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And so what is this word? We're going to look through this and go through and see what this word is, because the word hasn't changed. The word that Peter preached is the word that we're anointed to preach. And I've got I saw 5 points in Peter's message. There's 5 points. One of them is not going to be my emphasis. But when I get to one of those points, it will probably become what everybody remembers about what I said. Because it might have a shock factor to it. Because it might be something you're not accustomed to listening to. But it's my duty to bring the whole word of God. I see 5 points in Peter's message. 5. And I'm not going to preach 4 to you today. I'm not going to mention the 4 and leave off one. I see 5. I saw it in Isaiah 61 in the rest of the verse. And I see it that Peter has 5 points. And let's go through it really quickly. Verse 37. "This is the word which was published through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." When Peter stood up to preach to that room full of people that day, point number one in his message was, everybody's accepted. And here's why you're accepted. Because God sent Jesus to the earth. And Jesus did miracles. And we're going to tell that story until he comes back. We're going to tell of what Jesus did when he was on the earth. He healed the sick. He consoled those that mourn. He set captives free. He did so many miracles. Those miracles to this day are not refutable. Those miracles today, because the witnesses of those miracles talked it up all around. It spread. I'm preaching to you the same Jesus that Peter preached, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. Jesus did, Jesus does, and Jesus will do miracles and mighty works in the people that believe. Just believe in Him. I'm preaching just like Peter did. In Cornelius' house. And point number two in his message, he preached about Jesus' healing power and how he delivered people that were oppressed and set them free. And he went about doing good and doing miracles. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And whom they killed and hung on a tree. Point number two. Jesus was crucified. The anointing is on you to preach to your family, friends, to keep this word going until he comes back. The Spirit of the Lord is on you to tell everyone that'll listen. Jesus did, Jesus does mighty miracles, but he was hung on a cross. He was hung on a cross. And the person on one side of Jesus, there were three men that day that were publicly executed. In a most horrible fashion. And on each side of Jesus, there was one man on each side. And Jesus was in the middle. The Bible describes that horrible scene that day. And the man on this side of Jesus had his charge, had his crime, had the thing that he had done to deserve death. The Roman history records also. It's all documented above his head. His sentence was he was a thief, and he was executed for being a thief. And it was written above, thief. And on this side of Jesus, there was another man, also the same punishment, the same crime. It said thief above his head. But Pontius Pilate and the Romans put the crime of Jesus also above his head, and it said his crime, the horrible thing that he did, was he came to this world, that he walked among men, and his crime was he was king of the Jews. Jesus didn't die a criminal's death because he was a criminal. Jesus didn't die an evil person's death because he was evil. Jesus died in our place. He died being charged with being king. And they said, no, don't put that he was the king. Put that he says he was the king. And the Romans said, no, we have put what we have put. We've already written it. And that was very prophetic and eternal. He was hung on the cross, not as an evildoer, but as the king. He was hung on the cross. And he's our king today. And he was giving praise this morning. Giving praise. History recorded his charge, but he was crucified for our evil, for our sins, for our wrongdoing. He took that punishment for us. He was hung on a cross and crucified so that this could be the time when us before God, we are acceptable. Our price has been paid. The punishment has been rendered. We are free of that punishment. And God can say, this is the acceptable year for you. Point number two in Peter's message, he was hung upon a tree. Verse 40, and God raised him up on the third day. Point number four, God raised him up on the third day. Documented. Roman historians, Jewish historians, and the Christian, the gospel, the witnesses there, more than 500 people saw him alive after 3 days. This thing was not done in a corner, but this thing was on all the history pages of the day. This thing rocked the world. Jesus was seen. So many people have seen Jesus that even the Muslim community believes that Jesus is alive. They believe that Jesus is coming back. Islam, Muhammad taught that Jesus will be coming back. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. That might be the point that you think, well, Brian, just emphasize that. I'm emphasizing this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. And it's this even Islam, the other great religion in the world, the other one, started by Muhammad believes Jesus is coming soon. They believe that. How many of you believe it? Let's keep it going strong. That's point number four. God raised him on the third day and showed him openly. Verse 41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. He's commanding us to preach also. This word will be preached to all the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. And our duty is to have every person here. And here comes point number five. I've already done four, right? No. Okay, let me. And not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto all the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge. That's the point we have to talk about. He was ordained to be the judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43, and to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. And point number five, through him you can receive forgiveness of sins. It doesn't matter what you've done this morning. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how despicable and how embarrassing and how shameful what you've done, what you got caught doing and what you haven't been caught doing. But what you have done is God is totally able today, and he says, I accept you. And if you will believe in the death and resurrection of my son, and you will recognize him as Lord and King, I will wipe you clean and forgive you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be a different person. That's today. That's today, the acceptable year of the Lord. Through him, we have forgiveness of sins. You can't do it on your own. You can't wash away your sins yourself. There's no guarantee that you have power over sin. That you can say, so many people say, well, I'm going to confess Jesus after I get my sin problem straightened out. After I get my situation straightened out. I'm going to call on Jesus because I think he'll accept me then. No, he accepts you now. He accepts you now. Call upon him. Praise him this morning if you want to praise him. The acceptable year, and Jesus to all them that believe. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. But let me go into this a little bit because it's not talked about. But Isaiah 61, when Jesus stood up and announced the beginning of a new year. This is the year, the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year of general, absolute, unconditional, universal acceptance. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And Isaiah, when he wrote it, he said in the same sentence, and the day of vengeance of our God. We know the difference between a year and a day. A year is big. It lasts a long time. A day is quick in comparison to a year. My emphasis this morning is on the year of acceptance. But there is a day. There is a day. The year will end on a certain day. The acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. I did a little research before I came because I'm hearing a lot on the news about borders today. Borders. About keeping borders open and closing borders. How many of you noticed that's on the news a lot? On not only here in the United States talking about the Mexican border. Seems to be there's no problem with Canadians. But when they talk about our southern border, there's talk about tightening up the border, closing the border. And Ronald Reagan in 1986 with 3 million, and this is not political, this is only a parallel. Things that happen in the spirit usually have a natural parallel that we can relate to. But in, here in the United States, 1986, Reagan, they passed a law, and it's normally remembered as the amnesty. And he gave pardon and forgiveness to all the illegal people that had immigrated illegally. They'd come, they snuck across the border. And Reagan said, "This is the year that we accept you. Just fill out this form." And I printed it out. "Just fill out an I-485. It's $1,000, $1,078. Fill out an I-485. And if you came illegally, if you're not married to a U.S. citizen, or if you came illegally, then fill out the Supplement A. And there's another $1,000. And here it is, the Supplement A. I printed it out. And you know what? We accept you. You cannot be kicked out. You're in process with us. If you turn in these two forms with us, with the $2,000, you cannot be deported. Your case will go into the process, which is a long process. And you can apply for work. And we forgive you and we accept you. Make sure that when you answer the questions that you answer correctly, of course. And listen, you have to check B. I have accepted employment without authorization. Go ahead, confess to the government. I have accepted employment without authorization. I am in unlawful migration status. Make sure you check that you are in unlawful immigration status. I entered the United States without inspection and I remained in the United States. Yes, is that you? Check right here. Okay, we're going to forgive you. We're going to give you amnesty. And make sure that you also, there's a place where you have to check. It says, "Do you plan to practice polygamy in the United States?" Make sure you put no, okay? Make sure you put no. And also it says, "Have you ever received any type of military, paramilitary, or weapons training?" Make sure you put no. Make sure you put no. And, you know, we're going to, with that little bit of, you know, just answer correctly. And then right here, you sign it. And you were accepted. That's been going on since 1986. 3 million people were legalized if they would draw near. Not hide. Don't hide anymore. And this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Don't hide from God. He wants you. He's got a plan. All you got to do is say, "Jesus, I have sinned. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. You know, forgive me. Wash me. I want to be a citizen of heaven." And Jesus will accept you. And so here it is. This is still in effect. Even though the form was intended only for, it says, June 30th, 2015. We're past that. But if you go to the government website, we're still offering it. It's still being offered. Even though the year, in this case, has technically ended, they've implemented what they call rolling amnesty. In Congress, there's a rolling amnesty. And they're always adding and adding. And I got a few statistics here. I think I wrote them down. A few statistics that right now in this country, there's been 6 extensions to the year. 1986, 6 extensions. It keeps getting extended. And there's been 15 million legalized. The plan was, here's what Reagan's plan was. We're going to legalize 3 million, but then we're going to, boom, close the door. And then from then on, you get punished if you hired an illegal immigrant. Charlie, I see Charlie Rollins. Is Charlie Rollins? I see some people shaking. If you hire an illegal immigrant. But it was supposed to get really tough, really tough. That we're going to control the border, and we're going to punish people that employ. We want everybody to come forward and become legalized. And since that day, 15 million have taken advantage of amnesty. And today there are, according to Homeland Security, there are 11 million undocumented illegal immigrants in our country. So what am I saying with all that? I'm saying that it's tough to close the door. It's tough to say that the period will end. Nobody has wanted to clamp down. And so it's still going on. You look at what's going on in Europe. In Europe, everybody wants to go. The immigrants now, 3,000 a day coming up from the Middle East, 3,000 from Africa. And where do they always want to go? They always want to go to Protestant nations. Well, that tells me something, where everybody should be, where everybody knows it'll be better for me. They're picking the United States and they're picking Germany. Have you noticed that? Germany, Martin Luther, Protestantism, the Protestant nations is where the people want to come. I want to go to Germany. I want to go to the United States. Well, that tells us that God has blessed and the people know that they will be accepted, and the people have an expectation of prosperity and goodness when they go where the gospel is being preached. Amen. 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 Nobody's trying to get out of the United States. Oh, I want to be free. Let me go. I'm going to run across. I'm going south. No, everybody's coming north. Yeah. So, but I must announce. We're seeing on the news and all that there's pressure at the border, and the voices are saying it's time. It's time now. Let's. And I'm here today to say that the acceptable of the year is not eternity. It's a year, and there's going to be a day when it ends. And I have to say, and we should preach, that the doors are closing. Watch this 60 seconds right here.
The doors are closing.
This is Dallas, Texas. The doors are about to close.
The doors are closing. Please hold on. The train is departing.
Por favor, sujétese bien. El tren está saliendo de la terminal C.
So, I came on this trip. I noticed, every time I go through the airport, I notice that when you get on the train, especially Atlanta, they tell you the doors are closing. And I say, well, we've got to tell people that the doors are closing. You know, they're warning in the airport, and they're warning you that the doors are closing. Why do they do that? Well, why don't we do it too? The doors are closing. I'm anointed to tell you today that the doors are closing. The door is so you won't hang around at the door. I wanted to find on the internet a picture of a frog getting squashed in a door. You know. But I couldn't find one. But I saw pictures of kids running on the garage door. And the kids running and sliding. How many of you seen a movie where the doors are closing and the guy's running, the action hero, and he slides like in the second base and gets through the door? Huh? How many of you seen that? That's our time right now. I'm looking at the watch right here, and that's where we're at. It's time to start bolting for that door and go into that slide and get under, because the doors are closing. The doors are closing. Look around you. Read end time prophecy. What are you waiting on? I'm saying this morning, if you haven't taken advantage of amnesty, if you haven't come to God and confessed your sin and said, Lord, cover me, Lord, accept me, God, I'm going to make a pact with you for you to forgive my sins. If you haven't done that today, you need to make a bolt. The doors are closing. The acceptable year of the Lord has been extended, I feel. I feel God has extended it, but it's going to come because it's something, listen to me, the vengeance of God, the wrath of God is something that's built up. God is just. He's a loving God, and he shows love. He shows love, but still God is just, and part of God is there's a lot of pressure on his justice. There's a lot of pressure on his justice. And it's something that builds up. And one day, and my brother William had a vision when he told Jesus, it's time. It's time. Now you've got to do something that you haven't done before. And it's difficult. But the pressure is building up. And one day, the acceptable year has ended, and the day of vengeance and the wrath of our God. I've got to show you this, and this is not my emphasis. It might take longer because there's not much education in the Christian community on it. I haven't seen much where I go. Revelation chapter 19. The door has closed. This is a description of when the door slams shut on acceptance. And it's time to execute judgment on those that have refused to be accepted and have refused the plan. There's pressure in Washington about doing something and controlling, and there's pressure in heaven. There's some voices I read in Revelation. There's some voices, some of people that were martyred and stuff in heaven saying, "How long?" How many of you read that? How long? There's pressure. It's mounting. Things are happening, moving us at an accelerated pace toward the end. Those ISIS fighters, those Muslims, believe with all their heart that if they can provoke that the Christian nations will come to their land and engage in a massive war, they're convinced that will be the end of time. And that Jesus will come back, and also their Muslim counterpart. They are trying to accelerate the end of times. They are trying to accelerate. And don't you've seen them saying, come on over and fight with us. You know, they're calling out a fight because Muhammad prophesied that was how it's going to end. Over there, and it's going to happen in there. But listen at Revelation chapter 19. And we're going to begin verse 11. And I saw, Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge. Peter said in his fourth point in his message, he will judge. Who's going to judge? Jesus. No, Brian. Jesus is our intercessor. He's our lawyer. Jesus, in the acceptable year of the Lord, Jesus is the public defendant. He's a lawyer. He intercedes for us. He stands for us. He convinces the Father, accept him as a favor to me. And it's legitimate. I paid his price. But how many of you know that when a lawyer, the promotion that a lawyer gets, where can you go after your lawyer? It's a higher position where you get to sit down. And you sit down in court and you don't stand up in court. And you don't have to, you just listen and make a decision. Lawyers become judges. And Jesus is going to get a promotion. It's going to be necessary that Jesus judge. That's part of his. The Jews expect when the Messiah comes that he's going to be the judge. They didn't read about the acceptable year of the Lord. They just read about the judge and the day of vengeance of our God. So here comes this guy that's going to judge. And righteous, he doth judge and make war. His eyes, verse 12, were as the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Who is that on a white horse, with his clothes stained in blood and a sword coming out of his mouth to smite and to punish the nations? And he will judge. It's the same. The same that tells you today, I accept you. Bow your knee before me. He talks to nations. He talks to kings. And he says, you bow your knee to me. You accept me. I accept you. I will bless you. I will bless your nation. I will prosper you. I will prosper your nation. I will bring peace within your borders. I will make you to be the envy of other nations. I will make your household to be the envy of other households. I will set you on high, but you must bow your knee to me. And after the year of acceptance, if that doesn't happen, judgment's going to have to occur. And when I read this, I knew it was Jesus. I know it's Jesus because he is the Word of God. John tells us that. He's the Word of God. And when I said, wow, his clothes are dipped in blood, I always thought that from his crucifixion, he never took a bath. I always thought that was his blood. And maybe you've read it. Maybe you're just like me because not many people are out explaining it. But it says that his vesture, verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Well, whose blood is that? Is that his blood? You know, he's got blood coming out of his hands. That was the image I always carried. But recently, I've been reading Isaiah. And I've read it through twice. And I think it's Isaiah chapter 63. If you'll jump over there with me, I realized that a lot of what the book of Revelations is saying and what the Apostle Paul says, I thought they were new stuff, that they were getting this revelation. But most of what they say, 95% of what Paul and John write and say, the Old Testament prophets have already said it. And it's not a new revelation. It wasn't. To John, when he wrote this, he was fully aware. He was fully aware that Isaiah 63 verse 1 says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Who is mighty to save this morning? Who is mighty to save? The Lord Jesus answered him and said, when he asked, who is this coming in this marvelous apparel and all this great strength? He says, I that speak in righteousness and mighty to save. Wherefore art thou? And then the prophet asked him, why are you red in thine apparel and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? It looks like you've been stepping on grapes and you've got spatter, red spatter all over your clothes. Why are your clothes spattered? It looks like you've been stepping on grapes. And the reply is, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger. I, who am mighty to save, will tread the winepress in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment for the... Are you reading with me? For the day of vengeance. The day of vengeance. Oh Lord Jesus. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I won't read any further, but I had to make that point in Peter's preaching, in biblical prophecy. The year, acceptable year of the Lord, is upon us, and we are to preach it. And when we talk about God's acceptance, we mention Jesus and his mighty miracles. We mention he was crucified. We mention that he was raised from the dead. And we mention he will come and judge the quick and the dead. Amen? Amen. Amen. The doors are closing. And if anybody here today has been hanging around the door, don't hang around. Enter in. Enter into the acceptance of the Lord. Get on this side of the door. I couldn't bring you a picture today that would mark you for history of a frog being squashed in the door. I wish I could. I looked. But there's no reason that anybody, when the doors are closed and the acceptable year of the Lord becomes the day of vengeance of our God, that anybody be caught on the wrong side. If you're among us, we're going to pressure you. Enter into the goodness of God. Enter into the mercies of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I'm going to close it here. I want to pray. I think I've done my given the word that God gave me. This morning, I felt impressed because I know it's frequently here when service is over that you're given an invitation to come forward for prayer. And I want to be part of that prayer today. This morning I was impressed to offer prayer for marriages. Anybody here, when they dismiss, I'm not going to run out today. I'm going to be up here and I want to pray. I especially want to pray for marriages. My wife and I got a wonderful woman. She's put up with a lot. She can pray for you women. I don't want her to leave me, and I can pray for you guys. We've been together over 27 years. We've seen a lot, been through a lot, and our love has endured. And we're offering. I want to touch you today, pray for you. For any marriages, you've heard of healings this morning. There's testimony. There's people in this room. There's a testimony sitting right over there. They had cancer, but it wasn't attached. They just clipped it off instead of removing all their organs and stuff because it was all, you know, metastasized or whatever they call it. It was just there. It appears to me it had to let go. It snipped it. Go home. You know, God's doing miracles. There's testimonies here. Anybody wants prayer, I'm going to ask my wife too. We're going to be here for a little while after dismissal. Could we stand on our feet? And I will want to pray, and then we'll give it back over to the pastor. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being the one today to come into this house of expectancy and to bring your word. To bring a word that can be taken out of this room here and shared over lunch. And shared Monday at work, that we are in an acceptable time. And we, Lord, are anointed to be your inviters. We, Lord, are anointed to be your greeters and to proclaim. And the same works that you did, you promised us, we'll do also. And greater works than they shall do in my name. And so, Father, I release over this house the anointing, Holy Spirit, descend upon each brother and sister and each person that's here today. Holy Spirit, come upon them. I thank you, Father, for the dozens and dozens that are going to come into covering and fellowship and into membership in this house because the Holy Spirit is among us and he is giving us a purpose in these days. We watch the news. We see things going to a cataclysmic threats all around of annihilation and world war and nation rising against nation. But God, in the midst of all this confusion and chaos, in you we have purpose. In you we know the outcome. In you, Father, we can see that we are a special generation and that we have a great purpose. And our days here on the earth, Lord God, are in the year, the acceptable year of the Lord. Help us do our duty, God, faithfully to you, and receive our great reward. I bless the people this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.